Don't get angry.
I'm going to need for you to retard your anger level a few notches and listen to me. Can you do that?
Don't get even.
Revenge is not an idea we promote on my planet.
Oh, but we're not on my planet.
Get petty. This is the Stacey Petty Show on News Talk 1310 KFKA.
Top of the 10 o'clock hour here at your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Stacey Petty with you. Questions, comments, anything happening on the road, 353-1310, 877-353-1310. Go on my show all on Facebook. Go into the search box, type Stacey Petty Show, click on like, receive those notifications. What we are talking about today has been posted there. I'd like to mention another show sponsor, Eaton Grove Garden Center and Nursery, located 3 miles west of Eaton on County Road 31. Phone number for them is 970-454-3856. Website is eatongrove.com. Maybe you have some bare spots that you want to get taken care of before fall hits. You want to go to this place. They have fantastic selection, healthy plants, and a price that you're not going to find any place else. And I know this because I'm using them at my own home. We're almost done getting all of our items planted. I'm very, very happy with the products that I have received from there. When you go in and you talk to Ken or Judy Olson, please tell them that you heard about them here on 1310 KFKA on the Stacey Petty Show. Joining me in studio still, because it is Friday, and Friday we always have special guests sitting in with us, and we drink wine.
Yes.
I wasn't actually planning on drinking the wine today because I knew it was going to be a serious, somber show, but you guys were into it and said, yeah, I'll have some wine.
We're glad you changed your mind.
Colorado Cellar Peach Wine. It's something that you can get at Westlake Wine and Spirits, located in the Westlake Shopping Center. And again, they have wine tastings each and every Friday, 4 to 7. You can come in and you can sample this wine. We like it. It's sweet. It's nice for 9 a.m. on a Friday morning. It's a dessert wine, I would say, too.
Yes.
If you want to sit down with fruit. Or I wouldn't, you know, and this is something that I'm...
I'd eat it with chocolate cake. Drink it with chocolate cake.
I'm learning about the role of wine as we go here and what you can and can't do. I can't see having this with a meal.
Maybe if it were like
sweet and sour chicken or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it would work with that. So, Sarah Padbury, that voice that you're hearing right now, Isidore Ruckel, say hello.
Hello.
So, I know Sarah from forever ago, Brighton High School, Go Bulldogs, class of 87.
Yes, ma'am.
And Sarah is an adoption advocate, and that's why we are speaking with her here. We're discussing that. And we have Isidore with us because he's one of your best buds.
Yes, he is.
He is an adoptee and an orphan advocate. He was adopted from Romania at the age of 11 in 1991. I wrote down the wrong – there, I fixed it. And so – there are a lot of things that we can dive into, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start here. How did you first meet him?
Well, that's kind of a funny story. About 3 years ago, I was sitting in a Starbucks. Starbucks. Sorry.
Not supposed to go there anymore.
Oh, I'm not, huh? Well, I was sitting in a Starbucks, and I am a freelance journalist, so I do my writing in Starbucks. And I was working on a story and ignoring everybody and everything around me, and all of a sudden I heard this voice with an unusual accent that I couldn't place speaking to me. And this man said, excuse me, do you know anything about adoption? Well, I know a few things about adoption. And so
just a few.
I looked up at him and I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, do you know anything about Romanian adoption? And I was shocked because I don't know anything about Romanian adoption, and usually I can answer just about anybody's question about adoption. So I said to him, no, actually, I don't know anything, and he sat down, and we chatted for, I think, a good hour that time. And then he got up and left, went across the parking lot to work his nighttime shift at Walmart, and saw him again a couple, three more times in Starbucks, and we he told me he was trying to raise money for his friends back in Romania.
Okay, so did you see what she was working on her paper, or where did that come from that you even approached her?
It wasn't the paper, actually. It was a shirt that she was wearing.
Okay.
It had kind of like a leaf that looked like a handprint. And we've had that in past events for Romanian reunions called National Reunion with Children Adopted from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And we wear the same shirt. And I thought that was the shirt, which it looked very similar. So that's why I approached it to her.
It said adoption advocate on it.
Okay.
So that was why he approached me. And he told me at the time that he had been adopted from Romania. But I knew Isidore a good 4 or 5 months and had him over to the house. And we were getting to know each other, and I was helping him with a fundraiser. And all that happened before I had any idea that he was that orphan, the one that I had seen on 2020 when I was younger, and that had followed him for 20 years and had taken him back to Romania to meet his birth family when he was 21. And I had seen that special. And so Isidore was going to do this fundraiser to try and send some money back home to his friends who had aged out and weren't in the orphanage anymore. And I helped him set it up. And when I saw Isidore get up on stage for the first time, I had known him about 6 months at the time, and I was completely shocked. And he transformed into this passionate, lively speaker, and I was just amazed. And he got off the stage and came back to the sound booth where I was, and I said to him, Isidore, what are you doing working the night shift at Walmart? You should be doing this full time. You are passionate about this, and you're good at this, and people need to hear your story. And at that point, he's like, well, you know, I wrote an autobiography. And I'm like, no, I don't know you wrote an autobiography. So he gave me his book, Abandoned for Life. And I read his book. And halfway through his book, I stopped. Because when Isidore was 11 years old, when he left the orphanage, he turned to all the kids and in his proud little voice said, when I come back, I'm going to come back in a helicopter. That was like the biggest thing this 11-year-old could imagine, right? So I get halfway through his book to where he's going back to Romania at the age of 21. And sure enough, they're in Bucharest. The roads are bad. They can't get to the orphanage. So what do they take to get to the orphanage? A helicopter. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you can't make this stuff up. So I called him and I said, Izzy, we have to someday get your story made into a film. This is just fascinating. You know, it would be so inspirational to people to hear your story and to have this record of what happened in this part of history. Mm-hmm. That's how we met.
It's well, you know, and listening to this, I'm divine. It's divine intervention. You know, he was placed in your presence at that time for a reason, and we're seeing that.
Do you think so, Izzy?
I believe so. I think that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know, every meaning has a purpose behind it too.
I entirely agree. So let's talk quickly about the book, and then we're going to move on to the movie. Give me an idea here behind the book. When did you write it? What kind of success has it received? Who is it witness to? What kind of feedback have you heard?
So originally I wrote the book I got the idea in 1993, right after 2020 came out with their second segment, Take Me to America. And people saw the show and they said, oh my gosh, Isidore, you need to write a book about this. I'm not a writer. I don't like to write, but I started. And once I got started, I couldn't stop. So I finished the book, actually started writing it in 2000 and completed in 2003 before it was published. It's reached, I mean, I've done several speaking engagements throughout the U.S. for the past 14 years. So every event I've done, I've sold books. But the book has been very successful as far as reaching the adoptees and those who adopted. And I never thought I would get the response I did for the book. I wrote it just because I wanted to share the story.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing how the book impacted so many lives and getting emails like, oh my gosh, one lady in North Carolina writes, you are the reason why I adopted a child from Romania. I saw you 2020 in 2001. Thank you so much for inspiring me to adopt. Another lady just a couple months ago, I don't know what state she came from, met her for the first time, sends me a letter. Israel, I saw your 2020 segment in 2001. You are the reason why I adopted. So they both were able to adopt before it closed. But ideally, it impacted so many lives. It's like, oh my gosh, wow, we really have to get this book out there if it's making such a huge impact. Not only the families who adopted, but those who adopted and feel so neglected and isolated. So I started getting invited by foundations, by schools, by universities, flying all over the place, doing public speaking on the awareness of orphans. And people were shocked. They've never known what's happened to Romanian orphans. And especially when we're able to show them solid evidence, either by photos or video, it's just mind-blowing.
And this is one of my complaints about us as Americans. We don't pay attention to much outside our four walls. We're very caught up in our own daily lives here.
Well, our main value is comfort.
Yeah.
You know, you deserve a break today. Don't mess up my pretty little life.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And that's and when you see the reality, the truth that extends beyond whatever Kim Kardashian has chosen to wear for this day, it's humbling and it's disturbing that we can be that
disconnected,
that naive about what is happening outside of our own country. And I know at times, some years back, I went to go visit a friend in Canada, and I was having a conversation with her in the taxi, and Canada is unique because they have a lot of immigrants in Canada. They have a different immigration policy than we have, so they're more open to bringing people in. And he was listening. I could tell he was listening to our conversation, and I was telling her, I said, you know, the thing about that I don't like about Americans is we don't really care about anybody but ourselves. And I could see him kind of perk up and turn around, and he was listening to what I had to say. And I said, you know, I'm embarrassed by that, because we are called, whether you're even if you're a secular person, you need to have a level of humanity for your fellow man. And we are called to care for everyone around us. And some people are drawn to reaching out to their neighbor. Some people are drawn out to an orphanage in Romania. And we're going to be talking about that. We got it when we come back. We got to run to a break again, and we'll be back with Sarah Padbury and Isidore Ruckel. Please stay tuned. It is 10:20 in your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Stacey Petty with you. Questions, comments can be directed to 353-1310 or 877-353-1310. I'd like to mention another show sponsor, Perry's Vac and So, 4875 West 10th Street in Greeley. Phone number for them is 970-378-7804. Anything you need for your floors at your home, they have. Be it a hardwood floor care system, vacuums, commercial vacuums, the kind you strap on your back. If you're looking for a built-in system for a new home, they have all of the equipment there and can hook you up with contractors to do the installation. When you talk to Joe or Henrietta Perry, they're at Perry's Vac, and So please tell them that you heard about them here. 1310 KFKA on the Stacey Petty Show. Joining me in studio still, Sarah Padbury. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Isidore Ruckel. Hello.
Hello.
You know, and as radio goes, you guys always hear me say this, the conversations during the break are always better than what we put on air. It's almost criminal to do what we do to the listeners and say, oh, you should have heard what was said. But I want to touch right quick on this, and because I actually never saw the follow-up segment from 2020, and I had asked during the break that, yes, you did meet your biological family in Romania. I never saw that follow-up segment. So there's something new for me. I just remember the initial one. And I'm just going to ask, and if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. How well or how poorly did that go?
The reunion went okay. There's a lot of shocking information that I was able to discover from meeting my birth family. One was that I actually wasn't born disabled, that I was actually infected. I actually was relieved to know that. And finding out, why did you abandon me? Why did you come back for me all these years? And to hear the explanation, you know, in some ways it was very understanding, you know, as an adult. But in some ways, like, really, if you care about your kid that much and you kept three at home while you abandoned one, what went wrong in that? So for the most part, I mean, we visited the orphanage where I grew up before it closed, and visited all my friends, all the staffs that worked there. Considering the orphanage really didn't even change, 10 years later, walk in, and the first smell you smell still was the urine. So, and the treatment of the kids, the way they were being treated, had definitely not changed.
That's disturbing. How many children were adopted out of those orphanages because of the 2020 program?
Well, hundreds of kids were adopted due to the 2020 program. From my institution directly was about 36.
Okay. And I know at that time they were saying they weren't giving honest answers about how many kids were in that particular type of system in Romania at that time. What is the honest answer?
Well, in the 90s, there were over 160,000 abandoned kids all over Romania. Now today, it has dropped dramatically. Approximately about 70,000 abandoned children still continue to remain. 70,000.
Okay. And is there anyone within the Romanian government that is holding them accountable on the care?
There's some that are trying to do to change the system. You know, a parliamentarian who I met with, Florica Kereshe, she believes in the system of giving children hope, giving them a home and a family environment. But unfortunately, she can only do so much because she's a part of the parliamentarian. There are higher authorities than her that would have to approve what she's submitting or requesting for a change. She's not the only one. There are other people in the senator, in the parliamentarian, and even in the Ministry of Labor that believe in this. The biggest change that we can really hope for is our current president, President Klaus Johannes. He was a senator in Sibiu at the time of, in the 90s when the adoption was going on. And I know that he helped a family adopt into a Canadian family. I'm sorry. He helped two little girls from Sibiu get adopted into a Canadian family.
Okay.
Anybody that had anything to do with international adoption was later accused of being bribed, of selling these kids from organs or trafficked. Of course, those rumors are not true. And we're seeing that a lot of the people that were involved in helping Americans or foreigners get their kids adopted are paying the price for it today, too.
So you say there's roughly 70,000 kids that are in this particular system in Romania. Do they not have a foster care system like we have here?
No.
Unfortunately, they don't. They are trying to learn from other countries how foster care and group homes are done. But the one thing what I can say is that our former president, whatever his name was, I forget his name, but ideally is that he's very against everything for child welfare. And you, one of the things that he clearly stated through his presidential of 8 years, as long as I am president, international adoption will never reopen. And now that he's out of office and Klaus Johannes is the president now, I feel like he is the better future for Romania, and he is going to make a huge amount of change within the country, including foster care, possibly, we hope, for adoption. And one of the things I did is I attended a fundraising in Bucharest, Romania, and the president of Romania was actually there, and he gave a speech. I was very eager to hear what did he have to say, and I was very impressed. He will change Romania, and he will be the future that's going to make history change to make Romania a better country for the children.
That's good to hear. And so with the collapse of the Eastern Bloc and communism, was Romania, you know, I know some successful stories out of Hungary, people that have made a big difference there and that they progressed quickly. Is Romania kind of slacking in that Eastern Bloc in a recovery after communism has ended?
I think that a lot of people are scared to really speak out or to really make a change because of the communist mentality.
Okay.
And we do have a new generation, and I've been saying this for years, that the new generation can make all the difference in the country. They need someone to inspire them, to motivate them, and it does work. I mean, it's come to be proven just from the 2 months that I was there of me doing speaking engagements. People were empowered. Mm-hmm. What can I do to make a change? What can I do to better improve a child's life? Well, I hope you can do it without someone motivating you every second, because unfortunately we don't have someone to do that for you every moment. But Romania is trying to change. And the biggest thing we learned is that the people of Romania responded very positively, but at the same time were very shocked. Why? Because you have to remember, most of the Romanian population did not know about the hidden institutions, inhumane conditions that was discovered by 2020. So then seeing the footages now and then seeing our stories, it's like, oh my gosh, the rumors of children being sold for organs and trafficked in the United States is not true. Look at all these kids coming back. Emma Baron Nicholson is responsible for the international closing down, at least part of the problem. But she claims that she has 100 cases proving that children were sold and trafficked in the United States. I would like for her to prove it. And of course, Romania, there is a Romanian media that's targeting her hard. Prove it. Where is your evidence? Because as far as I'm concerned, you've just talked and haven't proved one solid proof.
It's upsetting to hear. You think that there'd be a lot more changes at this point in time. Really upsetting.
Yeah, change is very slow. Very slow.
See, but the one thing I can say is that the people can make the difference. Mm-hmm. See, people don't realize in some parts of Europe, the government works for the people. The people does not work for the government. So if you want to change, then you have to take the argument to the government, to the parliament, and tell them, hey, you need to make a change. You need to reopen international adoption. Look at all the damage that's left behind. Just like I've said, who do you think overthrew Ceausescu? Was it the government or was it the people? It was the people, not the government. It's the same thing with the orphans for human rights and for disability.
We need to run to our bottom of the hour break. 24-hour news and weather center update. We'll be back with Sarah Padbury and Isidore Ruckel in just a few, so please stay tuned.
FKA.
Bottom of the 10 o'clock hour here at your News Talk 1310 KFKA station. Stacey Petty with you. Want to mention another show sponsor, Rubbing Butts Barbecue in Milliken. Address for them is 903 Broad Street. It is Friday. That means it is prime rib night at Rubbing Butts. Remember, they are closed on Sundays. Hours Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m., I should say, through 8 p.m. Monday, they only are open from 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make sure you keep that in mind. Edgar was in here yesterday, as he is on each and every Thursday, and we were talking about why he's closed on Sunday, because he just wants that break for his employees and his family. Got to respect that. When you go in and you see Edgar there at Rubbing Butts Barbecue, please tell him that you heard about him here on 1310 KFKA on the Stacey Petty Show. Joining me in studio, Sarah Padbury.
Hello.
Always got to reset. Got to let the listeners know. Isidore Ruckel.
Salut.
Salut. So that's Romanian as well, yes?
It is.
You know,
it
Spanish
means hello.
Spanish, it's health. So salud.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're from Brighton.
Yeah. Mucho Espanol spoken
yeah.
in
yeah.
when we were growing up.
Yes. And the town hasn't. You know, actually, Brighton is.
It's. Exploded
it's
compared
not,
to when we were
it's
there.
Not what it was when we were there back in the day. It's like three times the size.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually don't go into – because we're just south enough of Brighton. We're in Henderson, and I don't go into Brighton that often. I go to Thornton or whatever because that's kind of actually more convenient for me. And anytime I go into town, I'm like, when did they get that?
There was just a – Kmart,
tiny 7-Eleven.
Yeah, no Walmart. No one little Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, and Daylight Donuts there.
Yes,
and it's—I don't even know what it is right now. I think it might be San Diego's now because this isn't everything San Diego's.
I think so.
So we were speaking with Isidore. He is the Romanian adoptee. We've been talking to him throughout the show. Well, and Sarah, of course, about his journey here. Making it here to the States, what is happening in Romania. We discussed the book. What we're going to break into for here, our final 30 minutes of the show, is this movie. I need to know what the movie even is. I didn't have any awareness of this, so this is all new for me. Isidore, what is the movie? After he takes a sip of wine. You're allowed to drink your wine. Drink your wine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Remember, questions, comments, 353-1310, 877-353-1310. Drinking Colorado peach white wine today. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what is the movie about? Well, I've been approached about the idea of making a movie several years ago, but I actually wasn't comfortable being in the spotlight at the time. But as I began doing more public speaking on personal and speaking engagement, I realized that hundreds of people were impacted by what I had to share, especially adoptees and those who adopted. And I feel like if we put this on a big screen, millions will be motivated and inspired to get involved. And that can do a lot more than I'm able to do or I'm able to talk on a personal level. So the audience would be inspired and involved a lot more than I could share my story in person.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask this, and I don't even know if you guys have an answer here. So, Sarah, you've adopted internationally, but your daughter was really young, right? How old was she when you brought her in?
Was 11 months old and my son was 3.
Okay. And so 3 years old.
Correct.
And so he's still kind of young. And
he was.
You have a deep experience of adoption in general here in the United States. What have you witnessed that he has struggled with that your kids didn't because he came in here at 11 from Romania?
Surprisingly, institutionalized children and even children in foster care, growing up in American foster care, suffer from similar trauma issues.
I mean, I see often floated around the idea of PTSD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And institutionalized kids in particular tend to struggle a little more probably than foster kids, particularly when it comes to food and the availability of food. And I can remember in Izzy Abdor's book, and also chatting with his mom about how he would hide food under his bed for fear that he knew if it was going to show up the next day, right?
That's correct.
So, you know, some parents, when we didn't know better back then, might think that's like an obedience issue. You know, why are you not, you know, we sit at the table and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it requires a whole different kind of parenting to understand the behaviors of kids who have been traumatized and have grown up in institutions and not take those behaviors personally and be able to work through them to adjust to what we would feel would be a normal life, mm-hmm. family life.
I would also make the assumption, because you spoke of your Project 127,
mm-hmm.
that there are organizations out there that assist in international a support group for the international adoptees, adopters, and when they're coming out of a situation such as Isidore's.
Nowadays, there is.
Okay.
Back when Isidore was adopted in the early 90s, we didn't know much about adoption as a culture, if you will. We thought that if you get a kid out of a bad situation and you put him in a good situation, then he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you just parent him like you do your other kids, and they'll adjust. And what we found over the years is that that's not true. And kids who come from hard places tend to have lifelong issues that come up at different points in their lives. For instance, going through puberty or as teenagers and then young adults. And then when they have children of their own, biological children for the first time, and they're like, oh, my gosh, somebody looks like me. That brings up a whole – can bring up a whole new thing. And so – adoption is kind of like, I describe it as being a missionary in my own home. Mm-hmm. I've brought in kids who speak a different language, eat different food, have a different culture, and we have to somehow be able to communicate and minister to those kids. And that takes time. And it's not something that can be, that is just fixed by a judge signing a piece of paper that says you're adopted.
Mm-hmm. So, Isidore, and I don't even know if you can answer this question. I'm going to ask anyway. What has been your most difficult challenge in coming here and adjusting? I mean, I look at you and I see an American kid. So
the looks can be deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest struggle, even to this day, is the word "I love you." To be able to say that to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to say it to a random stranger to start a conversation, that's fine, because. But in reality, if you love someone and you care for someone, to say I love you is very difficult. And the other challenge I've had for a long time is that I don't get close to people. Because
that's
it seems
surprising.
Like if every time I get close to someone, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And you have a solid relationship with your adoptive family?
I do now. I mean, I went through my struggle for 6 years of anger and bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And when I nearly lost them to a car accident is where my wake-up call was.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's actually a common human experience where when we're challenged to let our walls down mm-hmm. and be thankful for what we have. So your family is in San Diego.
They live in Temecula, California.
I've been to Temecula many times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we lived out there for a little while. Not in Temecula, but I've been through Temecula because we lived in Lake Elsinore for a little while,
okay,
too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. My aunt lives out there.
Yeah, I know that area well. Well, we started in Orange County and then ended up out in Lake Elsinore, and then that's when we decided to come home to Colorado after we were in Elsinore for a while. But so, yes, I know that area. And they've adopted multiple times as well.
They adopted me and then Isabella, who came from Romania as well. Then they adopted 5 other kids within the U.S.
Okay. And do you stay in touch with his parents, or have you developed a relation with them, Sarah?
I have. I actually interviewed his parents, Marlis and Danny, at least 2 years ago now for an article I was writing about adoption. And we became friends at that point and Marlis actually came out this summer to Colorado and I got to meet her for the first time. And that was neat. So, yes, I keep in touch with them.
So what was it that propels you to come to Colorado?
The snow. Well, I wanted to feel closer to Romania. You know, Romania has snow. California doesn't.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, I wanted a change in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going through my own experience and trying to change my own life. And I felt like if I moved out of state, hope to change and to escape a lot of things. And I feel like I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I've made a huge progress in life, and it's been beautiful. I love the weather, the seasons.
That's also how you met Sarah, too.
This is how I met Sarah.
Had you not made the decision to come here, you wouldn't have met her at that Starbucks.
That's true.
See? This is meant to be. So in your journey here, being this individual that escaped that life there in Romania, do you have a desire to also do adoption to kids? What is your journey? What is your future as you would like it to be, not what it's actually going to be, because we never know what's going to happen?
I've thought about it. You know, maybe someday adoption would be a better process than natural. I would never want to have kids naturally, only because there's so many kids who suffer already.
There are a lot of kids.
So why bring more children here when there are those that are suffering that need to be cared for first?
And I hear that argument a lot from, you know, when you get caught up in, like, in the pro-life, pro-choice argument. I have a lot of friends that make an intellectual argument of, look, we already have all of these kids here. I want to worry about these kids before I engage in that argument over here. Let's just get these kids taken care of, not just here within the States, but on an international level as well. We need to run to our final break of the show. We're going to be right back with Sarah Padbury. Barry and Isidore Ruckel. Please stay tuned. Final segment of today's show here at 1310 KFKA. Stacey Petty with you. A reminder that coming up after the show is Agfinity Sports Day with Brady and Jayhawk. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Want to remind you, we have 10 days, 10 teams, brought to you by Ames Community College that starts next week. It's going to feature highlights from high school football training camps here in Northern Colorado. Stay tuned for more information on that. We're happy to be participating in that and promoting the local Northern Colorado preps community. In studio with me, Sarah Padbury, Isidore Ruckel. Hello.
Hello.
We've got roughly about 8 minutes here that we're going to get this finished up. We're talking about the movie that you were doing as the Romanian adoptee here in the United States. And what's the name of the movie?
Isidore the movie. Well, ideally, it's just going to be Isidore, but right now we're describing it as Isidore the movie, because we have several names out there on Facebook.
When Romania's horrific orphanages are exposed, 10-year-old Isidore's dream of escape approaches, but will freedom from captivity free his soul? That's the premise of the movie. That's a moving picture as well. And I was wondering, on your website, I saw the fingernail on your website behind the font and everything there. And so that's what that picture is. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what it was. Yeah, it's an emotional picture.
So ideally, from the 1993 when you saw the boy tied up.
Yeah.
And you know, why is he tied? That is behind the picture of it.
The photo Stacey's describing is a photo of obviously a small child's hand tied to what looks like a crib. But in truth, it's not really tied. It's just kind of looped over, and yet you can tell the child is not trying to leave.
Yeah.
So what is really imprisoning him?
Yeah. And so that's what the movie is kind of going to be focusing on, is this journey and this struggle. And so what if you had to sum it up in 30 seconds, what would you say your movie was about?
It's based on the true story of Isidore Ruckel. It follows what happened to me and my 8 other orphanage friends after the American media discovered us when communism fell in Romania in 1989. It portrays several adults, both Romanian and American, who chose to risk their own lives on behalf of orphans, convinced that all lives was actually worth saving.
Now, is this something that is going to be – how is it going to be marketed?
That depends on who picks the film up.
Okay.
We envision this not as a documentary, but as a theatrical release for the United States as well as overseas, with about a $10 to $15 million budget. And we've had one Hollywood studio express interest.
Okay.
But they don't want to finance the whole entire film. So we are looking at different strategies to get folks interested in helping – be co-producers on the film.
And this can – information, if anyone has any leads, any donations, can be found on the Isidore Ruckel website. Is there a link there?
It sure can. We have on the website, we have a link for Isidore the movie. It has a lot of documents and explanations about storyline and things like that that are available for producers and directors in the film industry. That's not available for the public. But anyone wishing to contact us can contact us off the website.
Okay. And so what are the reasons why you're wanting to do this film right now?
Well, time is changing. Just alone from when my adopted mom and I went to Romania, people responded with passion, kindness, and it showed that a culture shift was changing in Romania's attitude towards orphan history. Our many appearances on the La Maruza talk show raised my public Facebook page skyrocketing to over 46,000 likes. It seemed like everywhere I spoke, people were eager to hear my speech. The other thing is that orphans deserve respect as human beings and should be treated as valuable people. Orphans deserve the opportunity to be loved and cherished by a family. Orphans, of course, they can accomplish a lot when given the opportunity through competent medical care, education, and training.
Edmund Burke was an 18th century Anglo-Irish politician and philosopher, and he said, "Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." Mm-hmm. We have dozens of films about World War II and communism and what happened to the adults who were imprisoned in camps across Europe. And those films serve to educate and inspire us today and to remind us of where we came from. But we don't even have one film about what happened to the children who were imprisoned in institutions due to the grown-ups' war games. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of thousands of kids, and thousands died. And they deserve to have their voices heard, especially while people still remember their names and faces. Isidore has friends that actually died there. And if we don't tell their story, I feel like their deaths would be in vain.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the things that I'd like to try and get out there is that every person has value. And everyone is – most everyone is redeemable on some level. And I hate the idea of setting aside where he's from and these kids. And as I had said earlier in the show, worrying about what someone is wearing. You know, Americans tend mm-hmm. to be so focused on the me culture. And – It's one of the things that I'm kind of leaning towards and developing in the show is recognizing how we are in the country and how we need to not be and thinking outside our comfort zone. What you went through and your website and the short video that's on there, that's far outside of our comfort zone. It's a whole
Absolutely.
Lot easier to click on peopleofwalmart.com than IsidoreRuckel.com, you know?
Yes.
And –
But I do have to say there has been change even in America. At the beginning of the 21st century, from about 1995 to about 2010, for about a 15-year period, America experienced this tidal wave of adoption. In that period of time, we had 250,000 children enter the country through international adoption. Foster care adoptions doubled to 700,000, and domestic adoptions skyrocketed to over 1 million. So that's almost 2 million kids in a 15-year period. So
that's
just about
huge.
Yeah, just about everybody knows somebody who has adopted or is adopted.
I know several people that have adopted from China.
Me too.
Yeah. So those kids are now in their teens and in their or early 20s. And so what we didn't know back then, as I mentioned earlier, is that adoption is hard and it's a lifelong struggle. And so we hope to show that in the film, too. There's a lot of made-for-TV adoption films that make adoption look cute and simplistic and easy-peasy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we want to show what it's really like for adoptive families, but also offer hope. So I think there's going to be an audience of millions just here in the States who will see that this is something they can relate to and who will want to come and watch the movie Isidore.
I think that the movie will be inspiring, not only motivating for people to get involved, but also it's going to change history for worldwide institutions that continue to be open. Mm-hmm. And the primary thing of making this motion picture film, and I said this, you know, not too often to people, but, you know, if I were to die, I'd like to finish one legacy. Let me make history with this movie to leave behind to ensure that this history does not happen again, not only for Romania, mm-hmm. but all across the world.
That is correct. That is correct.
That would be my one final legacy. And that's why it's important for us. And Sarah is my manager as well. She's not just an adopted mom. She's not just an advocate. But she's been helping Isidore Ruckel tremendously. And she represents a lot of my things. But if it weren't for Sarah Padbury being involved as much as she has, would this movie ever still be going on?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we are actually out of time. It just goes by so fast, doesn't it?
Thank you for having us.
Sarah Padbury, Isidore Ruckel, isidoreruckel.com. I have linked that on my show wall a couple times now, so people can find that information there. I can't even tell you thank you enough, guys.
Oh,
it's
thank you so much for having us.
And it's an honor to meet you. You know, I've been kind of watching here from afar, and full circle, man. Things come full circle. Stay tuned for Agfinity Sports Day. You all have a safe weekend, and I will be back on Monday. What can you do in 1 minute? In just 1 minute.